Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this March 27th, 2023. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, you guys.
How's it going over there?
Not bad.
Good, good.
Happy you missed the big snow event over the weekend?
Yes. I'm a little shocked by that, to be honest with you, Paul. It felt like people north of us, people south of us all got hit. Us here in the central state didn't get hit at all.
Yeah, and boy, getting hit some of those areas down towards Oshkosh, 16 inches of snow and 18 inches in Nena area.
Crazy.
18 inches of combined locks, Wisconsin. So, boy, it was a nasty one.
And that's moved on already, right? Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. If you want to see some big piles of snow, you don't have to drive too far.
No, you don't. What's the rest of our forecast looking like for today and the beginning of the week here?
Yeah, you know, looking pretty calm for our area. Still some of these cooler temperature readings as the week goes on, but no major systems of anything kind of on the horizon here, at least for the next 3 to 4 days ahead. It looks like we'll take in that sunshine today and some highs in the mid-40s as north winds will stay about 5 to 15. 23, partly cloudy tonight. Not too different here Tuesday, mix of clouds and sun. 43 for the high tomorrow. 20 on Tuesday night, maybe some snow showers coming in late. Any accumulation would be light with some of that Tuesday night, maybe an inch or less. And then snow shower chance early Wednesday morning, and then partly sunny, 34 for the high Wednesday. 17 Wednesday night, 43 on Thursday with a chances for some might snow, maybe some mixed precip moving in as we get further into Thursday and Thursday night. Kind of could see that rain or mixed precip potential. And rain, maybe some mixed precip into Friday with some highs in the mid-40s. So things do get a little messier as they get to the tail end of the work week. But all in all, not a bad period, especially through midweek here for our area.
Messier but warmer. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Appreciate you, Paul. You have a good one. We'll catch up tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. You guys too.
Thanks.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trambling the gang. Appreciate him so much. I hate slush so much.
Yeah, it's messy.
By far and away, the thing I hate, weather thing I hate the most, I would say, on my list as far as things that I dislike. Like, I don't mind snow.
No, but slush can pull your car.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
It's bad.
It has no point. It does nothing for society. And I'm sorry to pick on slush. I'm sorry. But slush...
Now, slushies.
Oh, fantastic.
Totally yummy. Opposite.
Yep.
Yeah.
You wouldn't... And it's so
Maybe
weird.
That's it. We just need to add flavor while it's coming down.
That's it. That's all we need to do. We figured it out, everybody. You're welcome, society.
I will put it in a note to the big guy and we'll see what happens.
Thanks. It's nice to have a pipeline like that.
Yeah,
it's nice to have like a pipeline, a telegram right to it.
Just remember, I'm in human relations. I can put in all the requests you want. I cannot guarantee how they get answered.
Yes, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different.
Nice caveat.
Yes. We got some fun things to get into in this hour, and of course we're going to lead you up to Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to celebrating that in just a little bit. Right now, this sounds like a great way to order a cup of coffee you probably won't like. Starbucks just launched a new site that's supposed to help you order the perfect drink based on your zodiac sign. They partner with an app for horoscopes and psychics called Sanctuary. The website is StarbucksStarSigns.com. And I just clicked on it, and it's not working.
Oh.
Of course not.
Great.
Gotta
nice
like
product
that.
There,
yeah,
Starbucks.
Yeah. Maybe it's just my computer. I don't know. Could be. I've had some issues, but I'm guessing not. Because, try this on another one. Nope. Still not working. Okay. So I have no idea if the site is... to be honest with you guys, it wasn't working this morning either when I tried to use it. Again, StarbucksStarSigns.com. First, you choose your zodiac sign, like Taurus or Virgo.
I'm on.
Oh, good. Nice. Then you say whether you plan to drink it in the morning or afternoon, because that matters, apparently. It eventually tells you what your ideal drink is, and there's a link so you can order it online. If you believe in astrology stuff, you might find it useful. There's also a decent chance they're just trying to push people towards their pricier beverages. Mm-hmm. It seems like that's what most of the suggestions are.
Of course. It's not going to be a plain black coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm on the website, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I put in my sign. I put in I'm a morning coffee drinker.
Hmm.
It says I'm friendly, intuitive, sincere. I think it's a bunch of crock.
That's interesting.
My spring color is tranquil teal.
Ooh.
You know, I was going to say, I think your springtime. I have no idea what that means. I don't know.
Okay, now, caramel ribbon crunch frappe drink. Yeah, it does not know me.
I mean, that sounds good.
Sounds yummy, but yeah, not where I would go to. But yeah, it's interesting. It pulls it up, and there's a wheel there, and then you click whatever your sign is, and you tell it morning or afternoon, and then it tells you all this other stuff. It'll tell you your color, your flower, and then it will tell you your drink.
Interesting. I found one that's just a wheel, like a picture wheel, and for Aquarius, it says Starbucks Blonde Latte.
Huh. Hmm. I really, really wish we were online and we had cameras in here so you could see Melissa. with the laptop right up, holding it up. Like, I love that. I haven't done that in a while.
It's a small picture.
Yes, I've done it too. I just love when I'm used to do that with magazines or books or whatever, but then we do it with laptops too. I love that. I love that. But I have here the perfect coffee order based on your zodiac sign. So I have here, like, they matched your zodiac sign with a type of coffee.
Okay.
Okay.
That we can do that next, though. I just had that sitting there on the side in the chamber and everything. But is there any more? Like, do you think that I think that this is all just an idea to get people to.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
But it's I think of my oldest Bria. Bria and I, we don't do it as much in the winter and everything, but during the summer she likes taking me to all the different coffee shops in Point.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 9,000 coffee shops in Stevens Point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I think they're like hermit crab. They just keep like popping up. They're like weeds. Like every once in a while there's a new one. There's another new one, and they're all really good too.
Yeah, everybody loves coffee.
But she'll take me to all these different ones, and I always get the same darn thing everywhere I go. She, and for somebody that we share so much alike, we could not be more different on this one. She goes in there, she sees like a special day of or whatever. It's like, oh, I'll try that. Like, she just loves trying new coffees. I admire it so much about her.
Mm-hmm.
But watching her do this has gotten me trying to be a little more brave about it. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do that or something.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a way of getting people like me to try something different.
That they wouldn't have otherwise. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the stats on that. I don't know if you're going to get maybe 10% of people like me to get to do it and everything, because there's a reason people like me are the way we are. We like what we like. But I could see that maybe having that kind of what's the downside to having something like this, to offering something like this? I see no downside.
Nothing, really.
I don't even see a high cost effectiveness on this as far as working with another company or anything like that. I'm sure the other company was probably happy to work with Starbucks. It's going to help bring up their portfolio a bit.
Well, zodiac signs are pretty easy to, I don't want to say manipulate, but to utilize in marketing because people are interested.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly sets me up, Melissa. Nicely done. It used to be a bit more taboo. Zodiac signs, telling somebody's astrology, looking up your horoscope. It was something that was in the back of the paper.
Yeah.
And it wasn't,
you're almost like Ouija board then.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very, very similar umbrella, even though, you know, people that know about that stuff might be mad that we're doing that. I said that it is for especially to layman people and stuff. I wonder if there's people out there that have always been into zodiac signs and these kind of things, if they're a little like a little angry now. Hey, what's all the? Because half of the stuff that's coming out is a lot of people talking about stuff with like reading half the article, or not really knowing the details of this stuff. And again, we're not talking about an exact science or anything, so there is a lot of gray area. But I think with that, you get people taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Beth started telling us about her drink. And if you are having a bad day, or maybe you don't feel that you are some of those personality traits that she was talking about, but you wouldn't want to be those things that mm-hmm. she was saying there. So maybe I'm going to get that drink, hoping. You know, whether it's some, I'm not saying that that's a conscious thing we do. I think it's a more of a subconscious thing that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a lot of like jumping through hoops to gotta get people to drink a $20 cup of coffee. It seems like a lot of things to go through for that. So I'm not saying it's that, but I have no doubt that it may lead to that, or for them in their data and their researching before mm-hmm. it got to the open world, that they were going to do something like, okay, hey, we're making more money if we do something like this. Let's do this.
I just wonder how they came up with what goes with what, though.
Yeah, yeah. That part's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Do you still have the site up, Beth?
No, but I can pull it back up real quick.
Well, I just wondered because I'm looking at, there was a couple different just graphics that popped up when I searched for it.
Right.
So here's mm-hmm. one on a Taste of Home website, and they all got Starbucks labels on them. But this one, again, for me, is a blonde cappuccino this time instead of a latte, which are different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But still the same kind of drink. And actually, Pisces on this one is coconut milk latte.
Huh. Hmm. Never had one of those.
There you go.
Hmm.
But Scorpio is dark roast black. That's their cheapest coffee.
Hmm. 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 Okay. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily
Okay. Interesting.
On this list, anyway.
That's cool. Hmm. Let's go ahead and we'll save this one for a little bit later. But I've got the coffee, perfect coffee based on your zodiac sign. So we're going to just completely kick Starbucks out of the conversation. We're going to ruin their business model. We're just going to tell you what coffee will work for you. But again, Starbucks sign, starsigns.com, if you are curious, if you do want to check that out. Starbucks signs.
And it works for you.
Yeah, and it works for you. Yeah. We will take a quick commercial break. Come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Hi, this is Garth Brooks. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Not all of you are singing.
Oh. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Thank you, Garth. Thank you. You don't have to go. Oh, he's gone. He's gone. All right. Thank you, Garth. Appreciate you. Welcome, everybody, to Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club time. We encourage you to do some celebrating. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Misty's back to their regular scheduled hours.
Yeah. Welcome back, Misty's.
Yeah. I hope you guys had a great break over there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to encourage you to send us your birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com, or you can send them to us direct message on Facebook, just like our Facebook page, and DM us through there. You can also email any of our staff. My email is james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the MO for any of our email addresses around here.
First name dot, last name at civicmedia.us.
James.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. I need a one or a two from Beth.
One.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to a good friend of ours here, still at the station here, Kevin Bargender.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Kevin worked for a very long time with the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Came in a lot during recording sessions for those. Kev's a good guy. Got a really good opportunity and moved out of the area, and very happy for him about that. And enjoy, Kevin. Hope it's going good for you. We also want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Courtney Jade.
Happy birthday, Courtney.
Happy birthday, Courtney.
That is a beautiful name, mm-hmm. Courtney Jade. That's a good name right there. Enjoy your day, Courtney. Hope it's a good one for you.
I do have one more, a shout out. The Fred to my Doris in the Miracle on 34th Street. Happy birthday to Andy Kleckner.
Ooh, happy birthday, Andy.
Yeah. Andy, enjoy your day. It's a good one, Andy.
Awesome.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Good one. We move on to some celebrity birthdays. First up on the list, Jessie J is 35, British singer, price tag, Domino. Have no idea who that is. Sorry. Nothing personal, Jessie. I don't know. I got a lot of singers on this day from what I'm seeing. Fergie is 48.
Really?
Yeah. She and I don't know necessarily a lot about this, but I've heard a lot of my singing friends say that she is one of those examples a lot of singers will use, or a lot of young artists will use to young artists. Work on your craft, take care of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you know, Black Eyed Peas couldn't have been bigger. They do the Super Bowl halftime show, and everybody sees them. A lot of people are seeing them live for the first time and realizing, oh, it's auto-tune. Oh, okay. They aren't actually that talented. Yikes. Okay. They're like, they dropped off the face of the earth almost as soon as that happened. And Fergie tried to do the solo thing, didn't really take care of her voice, didn't really have a powerful voice, all this stuff and everything. It just kind of like went to the wayside. Nathan Fillion is 52.
Oh, love Nathan Fillion.
I don't know how you can't not love Nathan Fillion. He's currently John Nolan on The Rookie. He was Richard Castle on Castle. Most people remember him as Malcolm on Firefly.
Yeah, Mal.
Great voice actor as well. Apparently one of those people that people just love having on set. He's one of those guys that people just like working with, like working around. He reminds me a little bit of Joel McHale, where these guys who are really good at what they do, you can tell that they'd be great on a TV show. They just got to get not only the right show, but get an opportunity to be on a show that can last more than a season. Sci-fi.
Yes.
Joel McHale, similar situation. Now, Nathan Fillion found gold with The Rookie. That show apparently does really good ratings-wise, and he's really good on it. Maybe a similar thing with Joel McHale with this new animal show that he's doing, where it's doing pretty good ratings, and it's actually pretty good. I thought it's pretty funny. I like Nathan Fillion, though. He's one of those guys I root for.
Didn't he get started on a show called Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Yes, he did, with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I love that show. I was literally the only person watching that show.
No, you weren't. If I knew it, I was watching it too. Oh, I was with you, James.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I when I say I'm a big fan of Ryan Reynolds, it goes way back. Like, I've been a fan. I've been rooting for that guy for a very long time. And Nathan Fillion, the same thing. And interesting, they're both still very good friends.
Like, awesome.
Apparently, he was supposed to be in the Deadpool movie, the original Deadpool movie and everything, and he couldn't work it out scheduling-wise, but he had a role he was supposed to do. Second one, same thing, couldn't work it out scheduling-wise because this rookie has got Nathan Fillion very busy. TV shows, they keep your schedule. They lock up your schedule. You're not doing almost anything else if you're doing a TV show. Mariah Carey is 53 or 54, depending on which part of the internet you visit. Her first number one hit was her 1990 debut single, Vision of Love. The last one of hers was in 2008, Touch My Body. She has not had a hit since 2008 and is still that relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think Vision of Love is still her best song, if you ask me. And I feel like that's very controversial, but I think that like that song, that one I never had a problem with. That's the only one of hers I was ever okay with. Not my music, not my thing. I don't think Mariah Carey's done just fine without having my sales numbers. So yeah,
I had the Daydream album from 1995. So those are the songs I think of when I think of Mariah Carey.
She is the definition of a diva. She is apparently very hard to work with, and a lot of those things. All that being said, what is one of the things we talk about with voices? You know, is it a recognizable voice? And I got to think she's got one of the most recognizable voices in history.
Yeah.
And for me, it wasn't the voice. It was her style. I used to refer to as her Mariah can't stay on one note for 2 seconds, Carrie.
Ooh.
For more than 2 seconds. Because she always does all of those runs. She never likes to hold out a note.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting. I never thought about that, like with any singer before. I'll actually, like, that's going to be in my head now. I'm going to actually be thinking about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin her.
Not at all. No, I like that. I didn't even think that was something that that would be a part of your skill set or something that you would want to do. But now that you're saying that, now that I'm thinking about like just some of the songs I know of hers, she's all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm thinking about it, that doesn't make a whole lot of like that.
Well, it's a technique that's used a lot in jazz, actually. Ella Fitzgerald did it really, really well.
There's a lot of scatters that were made an art of it. But I thought that was more leaning into like... I love Ella Fitzgerald, top five favorite voices of all time. Ella, known for a lot of her thing, couldn't hold a note very long. Ella had breathing issues and a bigger, you know, had a hard time doing that sometimes. So some people said that that was part of where that came from. And interesting note, part of where scat was born in some ways. But you're right, though. You're right. It's just not with pop music that we don't hear it very often with that.
Right.
So interesting. Yeah. Let's see here. Pauly Paretti is 54. She was Abby for 15 seasons on NCIS. Okay. I didn't watch a lot of that, but she was good on that show. I always thought she's a good actor, I thought.
Oh, she's the coroner.
Girl, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, the quirky one, yeah.
Yeah, the quirky one, the one with her hair is always in tails and stuff. Yeah. Whether you like him or not, you cannot argue one of the more impactful, greater directors of the last 20 years. Quentin Tarantino, 60 years old today.
Wow.
Wow.
I would have guessed he's older than that, personally.
Yeah. Tarantino, he is obviously the writer and creator of Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Bastards, Django Unchained, The Hateful Eight. Tarantino has said that he is going to make 10 films and that's it. And he is currently working on his last movie. That he says it's his last movie. We'll see. I don't know. Starting out the gate, humongous fan of Quentin Tarantino. Mm-hmm. Nobody was doing things like he was doing. Nobody was taking chances like he's doing. Seeing the last handful of movies of his, maybe he's on to something. Maybe stopping at 10 is not a bad idea. So it gets his act, his bit has gotten a bit old on me. Where the style and the way that he directs, the way that he writes, I think that it was awfully cool back in like in the mid 90s when there was almost nobody doing that anything.
Well, yeah, and when something like Kill Bill came out, there was really nothing else like it.
I go back and I do this with all the people that I'm influenced by. I go back and watch their work, and I go back and watch his work. And when you see it all together, like these movies back to back or any of that stuff, I can't help but see the misogyny and just like overwhelmingly, like just like in some of the other things that are just really, it's not uncomfortable. It's just like it's not entertaining. Mm. I feel like he's gotten like lazier and like he just like Robert Rodriguez I look at who came out at the same time, same career length and everything, just seems to be hungrier than ever and working harder than ever to give you better stuff. Spike Lee to this day, Martin Scorsese, like these guys, they don't stop. They eat, sleep and breathe this stuff and they're always working to get better. I don't see any growth in Tarantino. I see no arc whatsoever. The same guy when he started is doing the same darn thing, going on the same bits, the same like low-hanging fruit as a writer and as a director. And I'm not trying to critique him. He's one of my bigger influences. Mm-hmm. But he set the bar himself with Pulp Fiction. And really, since Pulp Fiction, it's just gone downhill. And it's the same old every single time. If he was a musician, you wouldn't be paying him like 10 years later doing that one hit that you loved when you were a kid and he's still doing it. Like, okay, that's great, but it's the same bit. It's the same song over and over.
Well, so maybe he is on to something with cutting it off at 10.
Yeah, might be. Andy Ferris is 64, INXS keyboardist, and that's kind of putting it lightly. He is a huge part of INXS. Andy Ferris, great producer and synthesizer, all that. Let's see here. Tony Banks is 73, Genesis keyboardist. Interesting.
Wow.
And then one more birthday I want to celebrate. The great Michael York, 81 years old for him today. A lot of younger people might remember him from the Austin Powers movies. A lot of us will remember him from Logan's Run. Or, of course, his most famous role, Cabaret. I was actually going to be playing his character, I believe, in Cabaret when I was going to do it. I was watching a lot of Michael York at that time and everything. Such an appreciation for that man's work. Such an appreciation. One of the finest actors I've ever seen. Easily.
I was trying to find, because there's one picture that popped up of his that I recognize, but I can't find the movie that it's from.
I think
he was in the Musketeers
movies. I think Michael York is one of those actors where, you know, I don't know who Michael York is. Then you see him and you're like, oh, Michael York. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know him. You know.
Oh, he was in Wrongfully Accused with Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, interesting. Oh. Interesting. Huh. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. One more time, we want to wish Beth, who is it that you wished a happy birthday to?
Andy Kleckner.
Yeah,
happy
Andy.
Happy birthday, Andy.
We want to wish Andy a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Happy birthday to Kevin Bauergender.
Happy birthday.
And happy a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Courtney Jade. Happy birthday, Courtney.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
Everybody sit back, take a listen to Melissa's news, and afterwards head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang and wish them a good day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. We're weird. We're bizarre. Strange. It's kind of our thing. Kind of. I will say this. Nobody is stranger or weirder than us. Nobody. Nobody has that on us. We've got that market covered. That is our okay. Wheelhouse right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are a little weird.
Spoiler alert, everybody is. We just own it. We just embrace it and everything. Everybody's a little weird. Everybody's a little strange.
Normal. It's no fun.
Yeah, it seems very boring. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thanks so much for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got some fun stuff lined up. Take you to the top of the hour. Going to get into this one real quick. Brings up an interesting conversation, I think. Utah just became the first state to ban kids from using social media without their parents' approval. It's set to go into effect on March 1st of next year. The governor signed two bills on Thursday designated to shield kids from social media and protect their mental health. The second bill basically says companies like TikTok intentionally make their apps addictive. If they do, parents and kids can sue them now. Opponents of the laws plan to challenge them in court for violating free speech. But assuming they do go into effect, here's what it will look like. Everyone in Utah will have to verify their age to use social media sites like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. Even with a parent's permission, kids won't be able to access social media between 10:30 at night and 6:30 in the morning. So any under 18 accounts will be blocked from scrolling for those 8 hours, even if a parent approves that they can use the app. They still can't use it in those time frames. Social media apps won't be allowed to show kids advertisements while they scroll, and they won't be able to collect user data either. All social media sites will have to give parents a way to access their kids' accounts. Utah is the first state to pass a law like this, but may not be the last. At least four other states are looking at similar laws right now: Ohio, Minnesota, Connecticut, and Arkansas. So you got a wide range of states throughout the whole country here, not just in this neck of the woods or that neck of the woods. It's throughout the whole country. We have seen, obviously, you know, the talks about TikTok and the worrying of mining data. This has been an issue since social media began, going back to MySpace and Facebook. Mm-hmm. It became a bigger issue when there were these hacks that, you know, took our information and everything. So that was brought it up to another level.
Mm-hmm.
The concern with kids staring at screens has been an issue since we were kids. And our parents, they would warn our parents, don't put your kid in front of a TV and just leave them there for 10 hours. Mm-hmm. So this is not new, that part of things. It's just new, the accessibility, the transportation with it and everything.
Kids having phones at, you know, preteen ages.
Nothing is more valuable and nothing is worth protecting more than our youth. I'm very encouraged by the idea that we have this new thing. Because social media is new. I know it's been around 20-some years or whatever. That's new by the standards of humanity. It's taking us a little getting used to. Mm-hmm. This happens in society. It happens in life. We have to adapt. We didn't always have cars. We didn't always have laws for cars. We had to create those laws in real time while we had them. Hey, I think a seatbelt might be important. Let's incorporate that. Let's make that a law that cars have to have seatbelts. And, you know, we learn.
Yeah, windshields that don't harm you more when you crash through them.
Right.
I don't have an issue with that. Anything that anything that starts to get close to messing with the freedom of speech, that starts to worry me.
This sounds a little troublesome. I mean, I don't know. It's taking the onus off parents being parents and putting it in the hands of the government, the state government, as it were, in Utah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't... We have groups of society that keep barking. They want less government. And it seems like out of those same sections are also things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like where, less government. Government, you take care of this. I don't want to do this. I can't do this as a parent. You do it. Or I can't do it as a child. You do it. What are we doing here? Like, this is a person. You don't have to have. These are not mandatory. These are not requirements. If you don't want your kid to have it, don't let them have it.
Right.
Well, and from the time that social media has been out there, kids have figured out the ways to work around all of these rules and laws. I mean, Facebook originally, you had to be over 13, and you may still have to be over 13 to have an account. But I knew, like, 10-year-olds that had figured out, oh, well, if I just tell it my age, the year I was born was, you know, these many years sooner than I was actually born, then it's going to think that I'm older than what I am.
Right. There are ways around it.
And I'm sorry to do this, but I don't know if Melissa can notice, I'm getting on my soapbox. I want everybody to know I'm actually physically getting on my soapbox.
He has arisen to the top of the soapbox now.
We've got the head of TikTok sitting there in D.C. talking to our government and everything because we are worried about them mining our data, spying on us, and what they're doing to, and the idea that this is too addictive to kids and the mental health aspect for kids. Where are all the meetings about school shootings?
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that seems pretty dangerous towards our kids too. That seems pretty mm-hmm. messed up towards. I'm a little more concerned about that than I am about TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not? Where's all that? Why is it so much more easy for us as a society to face this?
Outraged about an app.
We're more outraged about an app than we are about school shootings. Like, what the heck are we doing as a society here? What's going on? People?
I really don't have an answer for you, James.
Nobody does.
No.
Nobody's got an answer to that one.
They're using it as a scapegoat. They're using TikTok as the excuse as to why people are mentally ill and going out and having these shootings. But if they didn't have access to the weapons, there wouldn't be the shootings.
You're on to something there, Beth, but I'll tell you exactly. I know exactly what this is. It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. a fear of God help us, challenging the idea of this. You can't bring up, you can talk about school shootings. You can talk about them in detail. You can give details that nobody wants to hear. But God help you if you bring up the Second Amendment. Oh, dear God, help us. Everybody crying, I need this, I need that, and everything. Are you kidding me? No human being I have ever heard actually say we should get rid of the Second Amendment. I've never heard a politician or a friend or anybody say that. Nobody is talking about that. Get over it.
Mm-hmm. But having common sense laws in place that are going to stop the ability for people who should not have guns. We have background checks in some areas, at some places, but there are other ways to, the sales from back seats of cars or trunks or raffles. I mean, there's, and raffles do have place laws in place too for certain things, but it's just too easy to get a gun.
Mm-hmm. I got nothing. It's very rare that I am this stumbling with words and everything, but the idea that we're I'm not saying that this stuff doesn't need attention, the social media apps and everything. Certainly, we should be paying attention to this stuff. I would like to have some other things taken care of before mm-hmm. I'm going to worry about this. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about them mining your data and everything, don't download the app.
Yeah, just don't have
just
it
don't
on your
do
phone.
It. Don't use it. It is not rocket science.
Now,
here.
I don't have a problem with them banning the app on government-issued phones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or state-issued phones. Sure, that's fine. They have every right to do that. They have given you that phone as an employee, and they can say, you cannot put this TikTok app on your phone. Now, taking the step further and saying, children in this state, you can't do this. When that should be a parent issue.
Mm-hmm. I agree. How about this? How about we ban all social media apps for every politician until they get some dang work done? Then you can have your apps. Then you can have them. You can go ahead and play when you get some work done. Mm-hmm. No different than when you're a teenager. I'm standing on this one. I want to see that bill get passed. You guys can go ahead and have fun and do all those things when you start taking care of our dang kids and start making it a lot safer for our kids to go to schools and things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so go ahead, Beth.
What happens when they travel, though? So if this is the law in Utah, if that child goes out of Utah for vacation or something, can they download the app and have it there? Or what if you're coming in to visit Utah? If I already have this app on my phone, am I going to get arrested because I'm using my app in Utah?
What's the consequence?
They don't know. They have no idea. They have no, because they're trying to figure this stuff out in real time. And I get that. Well, and I understand that that's difficult. But
figuring it out in real time should include, you know, research, and yes, they've started with research. The next step should be education. Mm-hmm. They should be educating children and parents on what is appropriate and what should, you know, what number of hours per day or minutes per day is healthy, and helping kids, empowering them themselves to help make these good choices.
And that's the thing. Every pediatrician appointment I take my boys to, the doctor will go over with us, here's the recommended, you know, no more than 2 hours average screen time per day is healthy for this child in this age range. Mm-hmm. Then it's on up to the parent to abide by the recommendation that the doctor gives.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, as we've discussed before, now complicated with the fact that they're on screens at school to do their schoolwork in some classes. So that's screen time, too.
Mm-hmm. The part of the app being shut down from 10:30 to 6:30, 10:30 at night to 6:30 in the morning, I like that, but not just for kids.
It should be for everybody.
I like the idea of it just being everybody. I like everybody, like nobody could use their apps at that time. I don't know.
Certainly lessen the amount of drunk posting that happens.
Yes.
Yes, it would.
This is the thing. We're talking about this, and you got all these conversations about social media apps going on and mental health and what do we do and how do we police these things and everything. And unless we're going to force people, this is always going to be a case by, you know, onus thing, and you owning this and deciding, hey, this matters to me and it matters to me as a parent. I'm going to do this. I'm sorry. Parenting isn't easy. It's not meant to be.
No.
It's not supposed to be. it, the idea of that should not be like hard for you to wrap your mind around. Take care of our kids. If that doesn't come first in the conversation, I don't know what we're doing. Take a break. Come back. Have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Beth, Melissa, James here with you. We are going to take you right to the top of the hour after CBS News is done informing you and catching up on all your world news. We will have the kitchens open. Looking forward to it. Going to be a good one. Guys got a great episode lined up, too.
It's complicated.
It is a complicated one. It is. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I wanted to find something to kind of lead us into, you know, food talk and everything. I did not find it.
No.
This is like a reach. This is like one of the bigger reaches I'll make today. If you mainly love beer for the taste, not the buzz or the social component, you're probably reaching for a Coors Light. And that's where these Coors icicles come into play.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Popsicles?
Yeah. Seth and I were talking about this the other day, too, a little bit. And there's a little more to the article now. Coors Light is releasing limited edition beer-flavored popsicles. They're meant to coincide with March Madness, which, started, of course. And they're non-alcoholic, so the whole family can enjoy them. Because that's what you want, your 10-year-old with a Coors Light popsicle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good old beer flavor.
They're called Coorsicles. They are available at a 6-pack online for $20
and a
limited
number
of months.
Six popsicles?
I am not spending $20 on popsicles.
No. That's ridiculous.
No, I think that's kind of hilarious, actually. They think that might actually sell.
I would buy O'Doul's and freeze it first.
There you go.
Your own popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm curious how many they would sell, though.
I'm always curious about those. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what the
weird
product is.
Novelty weird items.
Yeah. That kind of segues into this, sort of. I was going to wrap up. So the other extra part of this is that they are looking at making the case, like offering it in cases.
Because,
apparently. But it's not because the sales have done well. Like, this is their idea of, like, trying to save this idea, is making, like, selling them in bigger bulks. Like, I don't know.
What's the price going to be then? Like, yeah. Case? Like,
they've got to get rid of their inventory somehow.
I guess. Yeah. But you don't hear that very often. Like, hey, they're not buying these. You know what we should do?
Make bigger.
Yeah. You know, and it's not what they usually do.
Six for $20? Heck, let's make it 24. For what? $56.99.
Yeah, right? Have you ever hit up a store on the walk back from happy hour and later blame booze for your purchases? In a new poll, about 70% of Americans admit to having shopped while under the influence in the past year. And on average, they spend $309.
Oofta.
Man, wow.
That's insane. Whoa. What are they doing? The most common drunkenly bought items are shoes, clothes, accessories, and food. 47% have done that. 34% of drunk spenders up and opened up their wallets for naughtier things like cigarettes, gambling, and more alcohol. And further down the list, 16% of people have been tipsy when buying artwork, furniture, or even a vehicle.
No, that doesn't seem smart.
No. Men are more likely to admit to shopping under the influence than women. Women are more likely to buy shoes, but men are more likely to buy vehicles when drunk. I think that this didn't really, used to not be nearly as big of a thing until online shopping.
I was
going to
say,
became.
Internet shopping, yep.
Yep.
Because it's really easy to do that from home.
I don't know, a lot of us were walking home from happy hour and going to a shop.
Well, you not
know,
or, here in rural Wisconsin.
No. But no. The online shopping, oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's definitely the case. I will say that I've kind of done this with shoes, sort of. But it was one of those things where it was something that I needed and I wanted to do, but I couldn't get myself to do it because it's hard. I have a hard time doing things for myself. And I guess that liquid courage kind
of helped
me. A little
bit of inhibition there.
You know, get the shoes that I did need. Mm. So,
Was it the pair that you had planned on buying, though?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, actually.
You got the orange ones instead of the more, like, logical black and white ones.
Exactly. It almost, I mean, exactly in that scenario too. Color scheme, everything. Like, you know, that's. I don't think that too many people are really doing a lot of this as far as they say. What I think it really comes down to, the last thing they brought up, food.
Mm.
When you're drunk or when you've had a couple or whatever, and you don't feel like cooking, you're gonna order DoorDash. You're gonna do something like that.
Mm-hmm. And you're hungry.
Yeah.
I was surprised that travel wasn't on there.
Oh, yeah.
Buying travel?
Like buying airline tickets booking a hotel room somewhere. I'm surprised that was not on there.
Boy, that'd be a... Well, especially with that price tag. They said the average is $309.
Yeah.
So
then, I mean, you could get a two-night hotel room somewhere for that.
Mm-hmm. There are a few things that are worse waking up from a drunken night or whatever.
What did I do last night? Oh, I booked a trip to Vegas. Man.
Like a bad
next
pair of shoes.
Next weekend.
Yeah, right, yeah. Like a bad pair of shoes is one thing. Like that. That's a whole different ballgame right there.
Can't return some of that stuff.
No.
Now, here's another interesting one, and I think we all know the answer to this, but I have to ask, is there anything that would be good to purchase while drunk?
Coffee.
Nicely done. Nice.
The food is not a bad thing to purchase, though, because, you know, you're soaking up the alcohol in your system then with food, unless you're like me and then you eat, like, pizza. So, like you shouldn't.
No.
This is not the same thing, but because we do real radio around here and it's about being brave and being vulnerable, I will share this with the audience.
Ooh.
I've only done the dating app thing once.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get myself to do the dating app, may have needed a little bit of liquid courage. And because I have no tolerance whatsoever, I may have gauged this wrong the first time I tried and gotten drunk and woken up with my phone and the app half filled out.
Oh.
And like not even done. So the next day I had to drink again.
I finished it.
That is, and then when I looked at it like the next day, because I finished it. I don't know if anybody else does this. I finished it, and then I closed the app right away.
I don't want to see if anybody's going to.
I don't want to look at it. Yeah. It's like, and if I get a notification, then I'll look at it or whatever. And of course, I don't get a notification. So then I'm worried. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What did I do wrong? Yeah. So I go back and look at it, and it wasn't bad, but there was at least like two or three words where it's like back, but with three A's.
Spell check. Proofreading while drunk. Not everybody's forte.
Hello, my name is James. I'm new to this. I was wondering.
For a long time.
Hey, what's your favorite color? Mine's blur. Four. My favorite color's four. My favorite.
It's also not great to actually engage in conversations on dating apps when you're drunk.
No.
Yeah,
that doesn't go well.
That I would imagine. I did not even think about that one. That's a very good point.
Get yourself in trouble doing that.
Seems like it, yeah. 70% drunk shopping. That is interesting.
Wow.
We will take a commercial break right here, get into CBS News, actually. We'll get into CBS News, and then we'll get a weather update for you. When we come back, first thing out the gate, kitchen's open. Looking forward to that. A little bit after that, we will get into a little bit of entertainment news. Something interesting happening here in Wisconsin involving Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus.
I saw something about that.
Yeah, I want to touch on that. Also want to talk about the Mark Twain event yesterday with Adam Sandler. Some cool news came out of that. Guy Fieri shows up along with his look and where that came from.
Okay.
Really?
That is showing up in the entertainment section and much more coming up along with the Kitchens Open on the way on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.